Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Pre-Production. Today I'm very excited to be talking to Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. He's a filmmaker behind films like Intacto, 28 Weeks Later, and the upcoming Damsel, starring Millie Bobby Brown, which premieres on Netflix on March 8th. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to get right into it. You've worked in television, you've worked on smaller indie projects, you've made sequels to established franchises, and now you've got a massive visual effects-filled movie with Millie Bobby Brown coming out on Netflix. So where did your love of film start? Tell us about how your love affair with movies began and how that led you to making them.
I would mention two things, two events in my life that definitely were kind of shaping my taste of making movies, you know. The first one definitely was my mother. My mother was a big fan of the Hollywood classic movies. And one of the things that she loved it was telling to me what happened in the movie and her love for the actresses and the way that they perform and their lives, their private lives. So she was very keen, you know, to tell me as a kid her love for movies, you know, and for Hollywood. And I think that the kind of sparkling eyes that she had when she was telling those things was almost like a hypnotizing thing for a kid like me, you know? So I definitely, she infected me with the idea of, you know, making movies for sure. I remember that in the Spanish TV, they program a special projection for many of Hitchcock movies. And I remember specifically one night I was watching Notorious. And it was like an epiphany. When the movie finished, it was like, oh my God, I want to make movies like this. And by the way, Notorious is a romantic thriller. I never done a romantic thriller. And it's kind of a pending thing for me. I have to do a romantic thriller to honor how the master literally pushed me into the path of making movies. So yeah, those two things, I would say that they were the responsible of making me feel that I have to make movies, you know. That was my destiny. That was my path. And from there, I started to work to become a filmmaker. There's no other way to think about me doing other things, you know? It's funny because despite the fact that that was my dream at that time, I started as a photographer. The first connection that I had with visuals and with the image was taking pictures as a kind of a street photographer. And I'm still doing that because I think it's part of my inspiration for thinking about stories and characters. It's a moment of freedom and a meditation for me to navigate through the streets of every single city in the world and take pictures by myself. I think it's a great method for me to be inspired for many things, you know. And I started like that as a photographer. So filmmaking was the second step into that. But my knowledge about photography, I think, allowed me to be very specific and very precise about visuals every time that I make a movie, you know? And probably the way that I approach into the filmmaking comes from the photography, comes from that kind of knowledge. But it's funny because in these years, I'm not shifting, you know, the perception about making movies and putting other things in front. In this last experiences that I've had, I'm noticing how important is prepping the movie with the actors on board, you know, and discuss with the actors about the character and review every single line in the script and review every single scene to see if it's clear the dramatic journey in every scene, you know. So it was a dream to me to have the cast that we have in this movie because all of them were so picky about everything. And it's delightful when you have this kind of level of actors and they are so keen to know everything about the scene, everything about the costume, everything about the visuals in order to flesh out the character in a proper way. That was probably the most delightful experience that I have in this movie, you know, working with such an amazing cast in order to really convey this story as real and as human as possible, you know?
So you go from being inspired by Notorious, your mother's love of film that sort of invites you into the world of filmmaking and the stars and the things that she gets excited about. I had a very similar experience with my mother. My dad wasn't very interested in movies, but my mom loved them, and she would always try to explain how they worked to me. And you know, when you're a kid, you recognize some names. You hear Spielberg, you know what that means. You hear Hitchcock, you know what that means. You know who Denzel Washington is. You know who Tom Cruise is. You know who Julia Roberts is. But you don't necessarily think of movies as things that people can craft. And you've obviously talked about your love of photography and how that sort of developed into wanting to shoot movies as well. At what point did you really seriously start to think about working on a movie and understanding what that meant for you as a filmmaker and what your position making a movie could be?
I think it was when I did my first short film because it was nominated for the Oscars, and that was a game changer completely. When that happened, I really noticed that, okay, this is real now. I could become a professional on this thing, and then from there I chased, you know, the idea of making my first movie, and producers were interested, so everything was kind of easy because, you know, making movies is never easy, but at least, you know, the nomination allowed me to make my first movie, which was also very important because the movie became such a kind of prestigious movie, let's say. And Danny Boyle called me to do 20 Weeks Later. So everything was kind of flowing so well from my first short film. So it was great, you know, that the first thing that I do suddenly has such a big impact in the industry. And that's why I always see myself as a very lucky guy, you know, because obviously I worked so hard to make that short film, but you never know what is going to happen, especially when you're starting in this business, you know.
How tough was it to get that short film off the ground? Was it tough to get money together, people interested in you without any prior credits?
Yeah, I invested 5 years of my life to make that short film. And I remember that I had surreal situations, like I was shooting a conversation, a crisscross conversation, and I was shooting one actor in the summer of 94, and I was shooting the answers of the other actor in the summer of 95. So it was
Wow,
crazy.
that's a lot of
That's crazy.
dedication.
It's a lot. We shot in black and white, which helped a lot to hide, you know, these things. The photography is amazing, it's stunning. Because I didn't tell you, but the first master, I would say, that I had when I was doing photography, that it was a big impression for me when I saw his pictures, was Henri Cartier-Bresson. I had also like a kind of epiphany with him, you know, when I was really young. I was 12 or 13 years old, and I discovered in one of my uncles had a book of Cartier-Bresson, and I saw those pictures, and it was like, wow, what is this? You know, it literally, those pictures were having three dimensions, but not only in terms of the visuals. You can feel a story behind those pictures. And I think in some ways that was the beginning of my interest for narrations and characters, you know, when I saw those pictures from the French master.
Well, it's clear when I watch your films that you have a love of visual storytelling and communicating story through your images, and especially Damsel, which I saw last night and really liked. I thought it was a blast. I had a really good time with it. It kind of reminded me in a way of a survival horror movie, because you've got a character who's placed into, the pits of hell, essentially, and has got to fight a demon that really wants to kill her.
Thank you. That's a big compliment, man. I mean, what you just said is, you know, the most beautiful thing that you can hear when you're a filmmaker. Thank you.
So I'm curious, like in the stages of getting that movie off the ground, because obviously there are an obscene amount of visual effects and things to balance. You have a dragon, you've got castles, you've got sky replacements, all kinds of scenic backdrops and things that you have to approve constantly. How tough is it to sort of keep all of those things in your head while you're shooting the movie and understand like all of these things will be there and this is sort of the movement that I want that's happening right here and harnessing the visual language of the movie, even though it's not always going to be there on set?
It's really tough, and you have to have a lot of patience in these big fantasy things, you know, because you're not seeing anything. Despite of the fact that you can design and you do models and you see animations, but you don't have the interaction between, for example, the dragon and Elodie, you know. And that is kind of the heart of the movie. So you have to be so patient and you have to invest a lot of time in the post production, working and finessing things in order to make it look real. So it's so exhausting sometimes because, in order to get that realism, you have to put a lot of time and effort. But again, at the end, it's worth it. When you see the final result and you see, oh, we got it. This is real. This is happening. All the pain that you suffer is gone, and now you're embracing something really fantastic. But the process of making it is really tough. One of the things that I think it's the most important thing when you're doing this kind of fantasy movies is to be surrounded by a great crew and a great visual effects team, And in those days that you're exhausted and you don't see that is happening, always having a really good team helps you a lot because they can kind of guarantee you, they kind of guide you through the process of forgetting all these little things that are not working and trusting that at the end of the tunnel, you're going to see the light. So that's really important. And again, it's one of those things that always I say, which is making movies is about be surrounded by great people, people that probably know more than you in certain aspects of the movie, of the filmmaking, And I'm very humble in that way because my goal is to make to give the best to my creature. And if I have to surrender to other ideas, I'm so keen and willing to do that. It's funny, making movies, I have a lot of friends all the time asking me, how was directing this or that? Big egos, you have to manage big egos. And always I say the same, the most difficult ego that you have in a shooting is yourself because you're kind of obsessed about something that you have in your mind and you're kind of, and you have to be open, you have to be humble and transparent to accept other things from others, And that is kind of it's something that you have to work every day. And it's not easy, to have that level of humbleness and to be open to embrace the best possible ideas, So coming back to that again, visual effects teams are hugely important in these processes because they can kind of help you when things are not looking great because they kind of say to you in a very eloquent way that no worries, it's going to work. It's going to happen.
100% give everything to the crew. They're the true heroes here. But when it comes to working with people like Millie Bobby Brown, Ray Winstone, Angela Bassett, Robin Wright, every actor has a different need. Every actor has a different way of working. And they probably all come with questions and probably all come very prepared. So what was it like working with all these different actors and sort of harnessing the director side of you that wants to work with actors, but also remembering we have a dragon here, we've got a castle here, we've got all this crazy shit happening. Let's try to focus though on the human moment.
It's funny because it's true. You have to have a very, you have to be very precise because you have a lot of technical limitations in this kind of movies. But at the same time, you have to have the ability to give freedom to the actors because if you put them in some sort of blocking space, they cannot perform, So you have to figure it out the way that despite of they are surrounding but whatever is surrounding them, dragons, birds burning, glowworms, creatures, you have to give them the freedom to flesh out the character with the premises that you discussed with them for a long time. That's why it's really important, all the prepping conversations in the process about the soul and the heart of the character, about the goals, about the conflicts, the obstacles, and the personality of every single character. You have to be very, you have to dig with them and listen to them. And again, it's another humble exercise that you have to do as a director to be completely open about what they suggest and take the ideas that you think serves the movie and the other ones say, thank you, but maybe we should do a different thing, But again, it's an open process. And I love to do that with actors, because they have to own something when they do a movie. In order to be good and emotional and compelling in their performances, they have to be the owners of that performance in some ways. And the only way to do that is giving them enough elements to create something for themselves, That's really important, the way that you create that with them, the way that you support them and preserve that kind of freedom for them to create something special and unique.
How did you come across the script for Damsel in the first place? What sort of led you to this project?
I read this script in 2018 when it wasn't in Netflix. I think it was in Universal. But then in 2019, I read it again, and then it was in Netflix already. And Jeff Kirschenbaum, the producer, who was my partner in crime in this adventure of making this movie, called me and said, you know, I have this script, read it, see what you think. And I read it and I was kind of impressed from the beginning, you know, because in Dan Mazet's script, you can feel the map of this journey, you know, and especially the way that he flips the fairy tales and turns this into something new and original, you know?
I think that's one of my favorite parts of the film, and I, of course, won't get into any spoilers, but I appreciate that the movie begins a certain way, sort of lulls you into a feeling of this is what the movie is like. This is the movie we're watching. You know what this movie is like. And then says, no, this is not the movie you're watching. It's a very different film. And I also appreciated how gory it is. There's some pretty good bloody moments, and I love that. I love that he didn't hold back in certain ways.
Yeah, I mean, betrayal, dragon fights implies, you know, violence and intensity, but I think it's not a frivolous violence, in my opinion.
No,
it's
not at all.
It's a necessary, you know, energy that you have to put there in order to convey, you know, that this is a real drama. And that's why I love, you know, the kind of intensity that we have in those beats, you know.
There's nothing gratuitous about it. It's realistic in that if a person gets squashed, it's not going to be clean, you know. It's some stuff's going to be there.
It is what it is, yeah.
I love talking with filmmakers like you because you've done everything. You've done, at this point now, big, gigantic movies with dragons, visual effects. You've done smaller films. You've done Oscar-nominated shorts. You've done a sequel to a franchise. And when it comes to your future as a filmmaker, you know, what's something you haven't done that you'd love to do or that you'd love to tackle or a story you'd love to see on the big screen?
A romantic thriller.
Yes, romantic thriller.
I need to, you know, close the circle and honoring, you know, the seed of my passion for filmmaking, you know. So I have to honor Mr. Hitchcock and do a romantic thriller, definitely.
Well, you're gonna have to. I mean,
I have to, it's definitely.
You know, are you actively looking for something like that?
I am. In fact, I'm developing a romantic thriller right now.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. It was so nice to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me and talk about filmmaking and talk about this movie. Again, it opens on March 8th on Netflix. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time.
Thank you so much, my friend.